Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Andy, for leading us. Roby was scheduled to lead, but he's celebrating Mother's Day with his mother in West Virginia. So we have a lot of folks who are doing that today. And we're glad that you're here and with us and want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. I hope in some small way that we have at least let you know how much we value and appreciate you moms. We had breakfast. I want to thank everybody who was involved in preparing breakfast and serving it. We appreciate you doing that so much. To say to you mamas how special you are to us. The songs that we sang, our mamas selected. And I think, at least for me, one of the highlights is we have our students make what we call them loving hearts, and on those hearts they make promises. Now I want you to know I have some of your loving hearts, and so you mamas will know who they are. You come get them after services. As usual, we have some really knockout ones. Even before I start, excuse me. Melissa Garish was kind of reminiscing about some of the promises that she had received over the years. And the one that stood out the most to her was when Joseph Garish says, "I promise I will try to remember to brush my teeth." And Melissa's still going, how do you have to try to remember to brush your teeth? Of course, that's part of the job mamas do. They teach us. Well, Jude Clopper. Now, this is going to be interesting, and we want to report on this. He promises, "I will be quiet." So we're really interested in seeing how this comes out. Ethan Shannon, boy, you talk about a promise. Okay, Steve, Marina, are you ready? "I promise I will have children." Now, we're going to leave it up to you to instruct him on the when and the how, but what a promise, okay? Carson Brittner, now we'll have to explain a little bit. He says, "I promise not to go under the covers." And Carson evidently was getting a flashlight or something and reading after he was put to bed and staying up. So I attribute that to Harry Potter and that illumination spell, you know, where he was doing that too. So anyway, those are some of their precious promises. Braden Shannon says, "I promise to clean my room and try to be nice to my brother," which, boy, do I understand that. I had a brother too. Bradley Clopper says, "I promise not to argue with my brothers for 1 week." Brooke and Chad, you're going to have a really quiet, interesting week this week. So let us know. We love that. Okay. Nate Price, now he's got three. He says, number one, "I will make you a birthday cake." And that's precious, but I don't think I want to eat it. Anyway, second, "I will empty the dishwasher every time my mom asks me to." And best promise of all, "I will get my sister's diapers, but not clean them." So you guys are not failing completely here. You're teaching the important stuff. Now I have Nate's promises here for you. Reagan Brittner says, "I promise to wake up every morning when you tell me to." Second, she says, "I promise to put my dirty clothes in the hamper." And third, "I promise to clean up my toys without being asked to." So those are good promises, and Sharon and Lewis ought to enjoy those. Dylan, again, the Cloppers are just having a great day. Dylan says, "I will clean up my toys." Second, "I'll be nice to Hunter and Corin." I believe that they are visiting. And third, "I will help carry the diaper bag and groceries." And he's got a fourth, "And I will really love you." So, yeah, isn't that terrific? And Drake Morris says, "I will aunt you And he said, "Aunt means love." You guys raised him. This is not our fault. Okay? We try to influence them for good, but you know, okay. He says, "I promise to feed Ronnie treats." Ronnie treats, okay. He's got a good, you guys did well. "I will make you a secret cake." Hey, I was going to say, didn't he just blow that one? So, yeah, okay. But anyway, this is just for you. "I will do better." Actually, I blew it for him. "I will do better getting up in the morning. And finally, I will let my dog sleep in my bedroom." Okay. Aren't you glad you came to find out these things? Well, remember to get them from me after services. Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're here. It is a wonderful and a special thing to have a day to honor you, and I hope that in some small way you realize that we truly care and admire and want to encourage you in every way, because we know what a job it is to be a mom and to be a dad. When I was thinking, well, what do you want to say this Mother's Day? I had a lot of things come to mind, but in all honesty, the first two passages that came to mind were these. And I kind of imagine there are probably a lot of men and others standing behind the pulpit or in classes who are quoting these passages across the nation as we honor mothers and fathers and grandmothers and so on, but especially mothers. Paul introduces the thought about Timothy in actually Luke writes it, but in Acts 16:1, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And you notice that Timothy became a great and strong advocate for Jesus Christ, but it was because of the influence of his grandmother and mother more than the father, because the father was not a believer. And we understand that challenge. And in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, he writes and he says a little more detail, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." And I think that speaks of the importance and the influence and the great influence that mothers have over all of us. We thank God for the moms that have sacrificed, that have put us above themselves and before themselves. We thank you that even in times when we exasperated you as children, that you still hung in there and loved us and encouraged us. And we are so grateful that you have been and are the moms that we want to honor today. I know it is a challenge. I had a friend send this to me, and though I don't want to read a great deal, I do want to read this to you. It's rather lengthy, but I think you'll understand why I want to read this. He says, well, the article he sent me, he says, "This is for all the mothers who did not win Mother of the Year in 2019 or 18 or 17. He said, "All the runners-ups and all the wannabes, the mothers too tired to enter or too busy to care. This is for all the mothers who froze sitting on metal bleachers at soccer games Friday night instead of watching from cars, so that when their kids ask, 'Did you see my goal?' they could say, 'Of course, wouldn't have missed it for the world,' and mean it. This is for all the mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers, wiping up barf laced with Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, 'It's okay, honey, mama's here.' This is for all the mothers around the world who fled in the night from danger and can't find their children. This is for the mothers who gave birth to babies they'll never see, and the mothers who took those babies and made them homes. For all the mothers of the victims of the Colorado shooting, and the mothers of the murderers. For the mothers of the survivors and the mothers who sat in front of their TVs in horror, hugging their child who just came home from school safely. For all the mothers who run carpools and make cookies and sew Halloween costumes, and all the mothers who don't. What makes a good mother anyway? Is it patience, compassion, broad hips, the ability to nurse a baby, cook dinner, and sew a button on a shirt all at the same time? Or is it heart? Is it the ache you feel when you watch your son disappear down the street or board the bus going to school alone for the first time? The joke that takes you from sleep to dread, from bed to the crib at 2 a.m. to put your hand on the back of a sleeping baby. I remember those. The need to flee from wherever you are and hug your child when you hear news of a school shooting, a fire, a car accident, a baby dying. I think all those things make good mothers. So this is for all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies. And for all the mothers who wanted to, but just couldn't. This is for reading Good Night Moon, or whatever book is popular, twice a night for a year, and then reading it again just one more time. This is for all the mothers who mess up, who yell at their kids in the grocery store and swat them in despair and stomp their feet like a tired two-year-old who wants ice cream before dinner. This is for all the mothers who taught their daughters to tie their shoelaces before they started school, and for all the mothers who opted for Velcro instead. For all the mothers who bite their lips, sometimes until they bleed, when their 14-year-olds dye their hair green. Who lock themselves in the bathroom when babies keep crying and won't stop. This is for all the mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and diapers in their purse. This is for all the mothers who teach their sons to cook and their daughters to sink a jump shot. This is for all the mothers whose heads turn automatically when a little voice calls, "Mom," in a crowd, even though they know their own offspring are at home. This is for mothers who put pinwheels and teddy bears on their children's graves. This is for mothers whose children have gone astray, who can't find the words to reach them. This is for all the mothers who sent their sons and daughters to school with stomach aches, assuring them that they would be just fine once they got there, only to get calls from the school nurse an hour later asking them to come pick them up right away. This is for young mothers stumbling through diaper changes and sleep deprivation, and mature mothers learning to let go. For working mothers and stay-at-home mothers, single mothers and married mothers, mothers with money, mothers without. This is for mothers. And I thought that was worth reading and sharing. Because you've all gone through so many experiences. I know there's similarities, but there are also some things very unique to your family and to your children. And I'd like to just add one more thing there. I want to thank all you mothers who care for the souls of your children. Of everything that God has given you in giving you those children, that is the most important thing in your possession. And I want to thank you mamas who care enough to set the example, who are willing to go to church, whether you have a faithful husband or not, whether you even have a husband or not, whether you are the kids are willing to go or not, that you go and you set the example. And don't you think for a minute, don't you dare think for a minute, that what you're doing doesn't make an impression. It does, and I'm one standing in front of you to witness that, to bear it out. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my mom. I've told you my parents were not saints. I'm not trying to say that they were. They would, even though both have gone on now, they wouldn't stand up and tell you that they were. And there was a period of their life where they went into lukewarmness. The church where we went to worship at the time was just not a good place. There were so many things wrong, so many people doing things. It was just not a pleasant experience, and it affected them to the point that they kind of lost their zeal for the Lord. And my brother and I both left the faith. We renounced it. We turned away from it. And Mom realized, before I think Dad did, that their example had helped us to make that decision, because they were not setting it for us when we most needed it. And I know that that ate Mama alive. I know that she spent the years following, when we fell away, when we were walking on a path far from the right one, when we were in rebellion. I know that it ate her up, and that she was in constant prayer for my brother and I to come back to the faith. And I know that she never gave up hope, even though she saw me come back, but she didn't live to see my brother come back. I know how much that hurt. And I also know that if it wasn't for her rededication, she went forward, she repented, she rededicated her life to the Lord, and she began a walk with God. I truly wish that it had been there all of our lives, but it wasn't. But, wow, I remember coming home after partying all night, pretty much until the wee hours of the morning, and walking in, and Mama was sitting on the couch reading her Bible and praying, because she couldn't go to bed because she wanted to make sure I got home alive. And she would thank God and say, well, there's one more time, you made it. I remember her telling me how she prayed for me to come back. I remember her encouragement. She didn't approve of my lifestyle, but I always knew it was important to her, and it mattered. And no matter how hard I tried, there were many, many great influences in my life that moved me to become a Christian. But one of the greatest is my mother. She was my Lois. And she was the one that I just couldn't get away from. The belief in God, the desire for my soul. And so consequently, here I am preaching the gospel. She got to hear me many, many times. And there was a rarity if I didn't have a critique following the sermon about it should have been this, it should have been shorter. You didn't hear that. You know, she just, and then there would be those, and then those were those good parts. And I remember the good parts better than the bad parts, which is really kind of unusual. I remember her support. I want to thank you moms who care enough for the souls of your children, whether they're with you today, whether you're struggling, whether you don't know the outcome for sure or not, whether you're in the midst of the battle. I want to thank you for setting the example. And I want to tell you, don't give up hope. Because in Christ, as long as they're alive, there is hope. Do not give up hope. But I also want to encourage you to continue to set that example. Whether you have that husband who has faith like you or not, I just wanted to say that to you today. And in all honesty, I guess my gift to you, and you know how I am about preaching, I take it very, very seriously, but this is it. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to sing an invitation song, and could I say to you, if you are not a Christian, one of the greatest gifts that you could give to your mother today would be for her to see you give your life, your soul, your all to Jesus Christ. There isn't a greater gift that you will ever give her than the assurance that you believe in Jesus and you're going to walk with Jesus, and believe me, you're going to need him in your life. And we want to encourage you today, if you have been thinking about it, if you have been putting it off, but you know you believe and you're ready to repent and to make that confession and to be baptized into Christ, what a fantastic Mother's Day gift that would be. And if you're not right with the Lord and your mom knows it, I want to encourage you to come back to do what's right. That is, in my mind, the greatest gift that you could ever give to her. And certainly as a father, the greatest gift you could ever give to me. Moms, we love you. We thank you for your example. I know there are so many different ones. I know there are people who are experiencing their first Mother's Day without their mother for the first time. Now, I remember that very well. Mom died in 1995, and I couldn't do Mother's Day for 3 years. And I remember how hard it was to do it on the fourth year. And I tell you, on those Sundays, I never said it to you then, I would have rather been anywhere but here. And sometimes we get up and we sing a song or two, and it's my mom's favorite songs. And it hurts. It hurts, and yet it's such a great memory of her faith. And I'm grateful to God for that and the influence that she's had. And I just want to encourage you, mamas, keep it up. We love you. And if we can help you in any way, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song in honor of all our mothers. It is well with my soul.